Following program has been brought to you by Barterhouse Wines. For more information, visit www.thebarterhouse.com.
When you open the bottle and you drink the wine, it speaks for itself. Is it, you know, a wine that's made for food? Yes. Those types of wines are tend to be more rustic or have a little bit more body. Are there wines that are just pure out hedonistic pleasure? Sure, there's wines like that that maybe from California that are more cocktail wines, or wines that are just big jammy fruit bombs. And those, I think, appeal to a certain group of people as well. I think the wines that Barterhouse specializes in is more of these food-friendly, you know, rustic style, biodynamic, organic wines that tend to be a bit more earthy, come from someplace. So you can almost taste the terroir. You can almost feel this guy, this Sancerre was grown in this slaty, rocky soil. And so to me, that's the exciting part, that the wine feels like it comes from someplace.
Hey, hey, this is Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. This is Heritage Radio Network, and we're here at Roberta's Pizza. Happy end of March, hopefully the end of cold weather soon. That was an appropriate commercial because we're here talking with a head chef of a new place that perhaps you've seen walk by in Williamsburg and wondered what it was, or heard about it and wondered, there's a winery now in Brooklyn? Indeed, there is. And it's called Brooklyn Winery.
Brooklyn Winery, yes. Of all sorts of places, yeah. It's been open since October. We're a full functioning winery. We get our grapes from all across the world. We're bringing in things from Chile and Argentina this year for the spring harvest. And then everything last fall was from New York and California.
Oh, wow. And, a whole range. So that's actually Brian Pierce, the head chef from Brooklyn Winery. And why does Brooklyn Winery need a chef? Because it's a whole fun place?
Yeah, there's so many different things going on there besides just making wine.
Yeah.
We have a full, awesome wine bar. I think we have like some 30 glasses by, or 30 wines by the glass. And then we just have a full food program, and we do everything from small plates and dinner to catering options. And
oh, yeah. Special private events you could do there.
Yeah, we do private events for like 10 to 15, all the way up to 30 to 75. We're shutting the whole place down and doing a benefit April 7th for 250 people.
Right. I heard about that. So, and who's that for again?
The Greenway Initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not 100% sure exactly what they're doing.
It's going to be a big party.
But it's going to be a big party. A lot of people are coming. Everyone's really excited about it around the winery.
Cool. So Brooklyn Winery is unique because it's actually a hands-on. You can go in there with a bunch of friends, pick out your grapes, get, you know, helped through the whole process with a winery expert, winemaking expert. Is there a word for that?
Winemaker.
Winemaker.
Yeah, you sit down with Connor McCormack for about an hour, and you just talk about what kind of wines you like, what you like to drink. You can even bring in your favorite bottle of wine, and they'll sit and try to figure out how to recreate that, or at least the same sort of like palette and dynamics going on in it. And then they get the grapes in, and you take them off the stem, you crush them.
Do you get to stomp on them by your bare feet?
More or less.
There's really?
Well, you get to do the crushing. I think the bare feet have been left behind with the I Love Lucy episodes.
I'm imagining something like those kids, like fun houses where you, like, you're in like one room with a pit of balls, and then like
just
the other room,
the
you're
grapes.
Swimming through juice. And then you drink it. No.
You know, upscale version, I suppose.
So it's a do-it-yourself, hands-on winery.
It's about a year-long process.
Oh, my God.
And then you get to design your own labels and print your own bottles. We throw awesome parties for all of our barrel clients. And there's a couple fun classes and seminars that you get to take when you do the packages. And at the end of the day, you get 280 bottles of wine.
280 bottles after this, at the end of the year.
At the end of the year, yeah.
At the end of the year. But you get to do like many, many steps, and you get to go come back and then see it through. That's really cool. And why, do you know why, or how has it been taken off here in Brooklyn?
I think the response has been really good. I'm more on the wine bar side of things, mm-hmm. the day-to-day operations with the food program that we have going on.
And a lot of people just drop in and have a wine bar. And
just come in and have a glass of wine on Friday, Saturday nights. We have live music. We have a whole slew of different things to draw people in throughout the week. Tonight is actually trivia night, so
no way.
Get your thinking caps on and come out and play some trivia.
Is it wine themed or?
There is always a wine that they give you a taste, a sample of a wine, mm-hmm. and you can go about trying to figure out what varietal it is, what year, what country, all sorts of different
stuff.
Wow,
super geeky. I would totally lose that one.
But I mean, we have a quiz master of sorts that comes out and does, you know, general knowledge. There is like a round where it's like wine knowledge stuff, and then mm-hmm. there's a music round, and you know.
Have you always been into wine?
Is that, No.
Yeah,
no.
So.
I didn't know. I liked red wine when I first started working.
When
there.
It didn't give me a headache, it was okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that was a really cool opportunity. I moved to New York on a whim in August, and 3 weeks and three suitcases, I traveled across the country and wound up here. and then, you know, I was working in Park Slope and for some other people, and things weren't really working out. And then I saw an ad on Craigslist through Radish for this mysterious wine bar place that was opening up. And I went and talked with them, and, you know, the ball kind of got rolling from there. And then all of a sudden I was working in a winery.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So my knowledge has grown immensely. Everybody there is so approachable, so easy to talk to, very, very knowledgeable. You know, the Connor will sit there and talk to you for hours about wine. Yeah. And so will all the staff. They're all great. They all come from different backgrounds. A lot of them retail based, so they do know like everything.
And I like that.
They teach the classes, and I mean, there's a lot to learn, and everyone's really great about
it, like,
sharing
like
their knowledge.
There's a real synergy between the people who work there and then also just the people who patronize it and just go there and
I think
the trivia and make wine.
Yeah, having such an approachable staff is really great, because I mean, like, I think wine and the food culture that's developing around it really is starting to become more popularized over the last, you know, couple of years. I think people are trying to get into wine, and to have such an approachable, easygoing place to go and you can learn and sample a bunch of different stuff is really awesome for the neighborhood.
Cool. And I've been talking about beer on this show like way too much lately. Like beer this, beer that, beer that, beer this.
I come from Fort Collins, Colorado, the home of amazing beer.
So you're like, this is old hat. Yeah, I mean, wine is another. I just think it's so cool that, you know, homebrewing is huge. Now maybe we'll have a home winemaking explosion. I mean, do you think that you can make wine?
You can. You definitely can make wine at home. It's a different process than making beer, obviously. But I was over having dinner at Connor's house the other night, and he busted out some sweet Chardonnay that he had made like 3 years ago at home before he actually got going in the whole like winemaking process. I mean, I think there's different shops. I think Natural Wine maybe might be one of those stores. But there are different companies, different kits that you can buy that you can like make wine at home. You definitely can do it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make the full 280 bottle barrels, but you know, on a smaller scale.
I think everyone's afraid though that it'll taste, you know, not good. But I mean, so you've probably made wine before, right? Or
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I've been there since October. It's not 4 years yet. Maybe eventually they'll bring me in more, and that next harvest is coming, and I'll get an opportunity to work more with the winery, because we will be getting the grapes in and doing all that. The last time they made wine, it was a little before I showed up.
Oh, okay.
It was in June of last year when they received all their stuff.
Oh,
so,
I see. It's seasonal.
So it comes in fall and spring mainly.
So you have to work with these grapes right when they're ready, I guess.
Yeah, they come into season. They get ripe. They have to sit on the vine for just the right amount of time until the vineyard pulls them off, and then they get packed up in crates and sealed and shipped all across the world. They're coming by sea from South America, and then the ones from California were shipped by train.
Okay. Any hopes of growing some grapes in Brooklyn at your facility?
That would be grapes. Well, it's the soil conditions have to be so right. But I would like to bite you guys and make my own little urban garden.
All right. You should totally do that. I mean, I'm growing grapes on a rooftop. I don't know how they're doing. I mean, it takes years and years.
Right,
like,
right.
We're talking 20 years ahead. Maybe we'll have grapevines. I don't know. but that's like definitely a long-term thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's why I feel like intimidated by this whole process. But when you really break it down, okay, so you source for the grapes from all over the world, just like you would with grains or any ingredients really to cook with, and then you can start with that really anywhere you are, anywhere you have the tools and barrels and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the concept. Cool. John and Brian, the owners over there, they had a similar experience in New Jersey, and they went and made
right.
some wine.
Okay.
And then, you know, they got talking and decided that what better place to open a winery mm-hmm. than in the middle of Brooklyn.
I see. So this is a real West Coast thing, though, this whole make it yourself facility.
They were in New Jersey when they did it, actually.
Oh, okay.
But Connor's from Northern California. That's where right. he grew up. That's where he learned the trade.
Cool. Yeah, I think I went to a walkthrough of the space before it was fully opened and yeah. before much of it had been built, actually. And I was like, what in the world is this? And he's like, oh, yeah, they do it all over the West Coast. It's like a California thing. You go in there and you make wine at this winery. Sometimes it's at like an old vineyard. Sometimes it's just people like us.
Yeah. Well, you definitely got to come back and check out the space.
Right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful bar. It's very ornate. Everything is reclaimed in mm-hmm. some form or fashion. All the tables are built out of old buttresses from brownstones. And whoa. All the chairs came from a pogo stick factory. The shelves behind the bar are old artillery cases from World War II.
So after somebody has a few drinks, they can pogo around on the stools.
That would be very, very entertaining.
I'm sorry. Like, so I can go there and play trivia and then
jump on a pogo stick.
Okay. No, that is super Brooklyn. Who would have thought that the old place was Supreme Trading?
Supreme Trading is
one of the smelliest bars in the world.
I've heard some god awful stories about Supreme Trading.
It was something else.
A black hole of sin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm lucky or unlucky not patronizing the place before.
Well, thank you for reinventing it, helping it.
Well,
get a facelift.
It definitely, hopefully, it looks a little bit better.
I think it does.
Just a smidge.
I think it does. You know, there can be a fine line between these shabby chic, found and refurbished things, like such as the buttresses yeah. from brownstones. That's cool. And just a total kind of shabby version of that.
Right.
Which
yeah.
I think is. Cool.
The guys at WRK who did all the interior design and all the fabrication of the place are really great. They have a really good sense of style. And Eric, the main carpenter that we have, he's a young guy. He's like 23 or something. He's great. He does amazing work, and mm-hmm. everything is fits the space so perfectly. Everything is very, very unique. And I don't think it goes over the top with the vintage. I think it does have that certain amount of class that really like fits in and mm-hmm. makes it work well.
And it's
without
a big space. It's a really fun, large romping
ground. Yeah, it's big. We have two stories in the wine bar itself, and you have the main bar area. We have like four 12 to 16 person tables down there, and then you can go upstairs and there's a little private parlor with a couch that's a little more secluded, an awesome little date spot. And then we have a private event space that can hold easily 20 people seated, 30 people seated, and then like 45 standing.
So if you're in the wine bar, can you see some people making wines or
if you're in the private event space, it's the back wall of it is all glass, and you can see down into the barrel room where we have like 50 barrels
awesome.
More just sitting there aging. And then the production room where we actually make all the wine, that's also available for private events.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a larger event with, 80 to, 200 people,
oh, wow.
you
that's
can
quite big
rent out the whole place. And, when you look at it, it looks a little, you know, like it's not going to work out. But then they backlit all the equipment and they move everything around. And there's actually a giant, like 20-foot projector screen that they can roll down now.
Whoa. Watch a movie while you make a beer or wine.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really out of it here. I just had a big event this weekend, Beer for Beasts. With Six Point and Beer Advocate. Yeah, you should do it. Well, you're having a big event coming up soon, April 9th, right?
April 7th, yeah.
Yeah, April 7th.
That's the day we're going to open up the patio space as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the patio is going to open up, and that's like another 40 covers that we can sit out there.
Good.
So.
I can't wait to see that place looking a little better than it was last. In its old carnation.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about food, because you're a chef. After a quick musical break, you picked a song?
I did.
What is it?
I Soar by Woman.
All right, let's put it on. We'll be right back.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to The Speakeasy every Wednesday at 3 p.m., where host Damon Bolte will discuss cocktails, spirits, wine, beer, tea, coffee, and all things in the liquid universe, with guests ranging from bartenders and brewers, alchemists and ambassadors, roasters and regulars, and every expert and enthusiast in between. Learn from some of the world's leading experts in mixology, bar history, distillation, and brewing about how we enjoy imbibing today. Again, that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're today talking to Brian Pierce, the head chef of At Brooklyn Winery. Of Brooklyn Winery? Yeah,
sure. Of Brooklyn Winery, At Brooklyn Winery, semantics.
He does the food, Connor McCormack does the wine,
mm-hmm.
and the place is awesome. Thank you for the whole rundown.
Oh, no problem. Hopefully I spoke well of the place. Food-wise, spring just came out. We rolled out our new menu.
I hope so. It's going to get
I know. Not with this weather. It's sunny today, but it's still cold. It's windy.
Yeah.
But, you know, in lieu of the weather, we rolled out a new menu. Very spring-based. We got a couple of very delicious salads on there. And just try to really make everything bright and light, and you know, hopefully that comes across.
Cool, can't wait. So, do you think about like each wine that is on the wines by the glass menu when you think about your salads and anything? Or
well, we go through this process. Me and Jones McCormack is my cohort and my saving grace. She helps me develop all the menus. She works upstairs in the office, but she has extensive culinary experience and just a really great palate and is really creative. And we work pretty hard gearing up for the menus. So we'll sit and just kind of talk off and on, and you know, write down different ideas, and then we'll test them out. And then once we get an idea of the whole menu, what we think is going to go on everything, we sit down. John and Brian, the two owners, Connor comes in, and the GM, Ryan Bruno, and they sit down and we give them the full course, and they have every wine that we serve by the bottle in front of them. And then we eat and we taste and we figure out what works best with each dish. And we actually have a pairing menu this time around. So every dish that's on the menu has a wine that
is
we suggest
to
pair to it.
That's cool.
We pair the wine to the food, not the food to the wine. Mainly because I'm not that knowledgeable about per se.
Yeah. I think that would be very abstract to take a wine and then say, oh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are certain things. I have the ability to cook with a lot of wine there. So
cool.
Like last in the winter, we were doing a Sangiovese fig compote. So it was just a jam that we put on top of brie, and that came with all the
Sangiovese fig compote.
Yeah, Sangiovese is a red wine. Right. It's something that we had a lot of. It's a jam. It's a fig jam.
Nice.
It's a fancy way of saying
it.
But so that obviously we got paired with the Sangiovese to really like bring those things out. And like we made a red wine stew that we also paired with a wine that we were making the stew with. So
cool.
Those types of things work a little bit better, but it is pretty abstract and really hard to kind of just like have a glass of wine and be like, oh, this is going to go perfect with that.
Asparagus with, I don't know how that works, but
there is this white wine that we just got in that is so briny and sea salty that I really want to do oysters with it.
Ooh,
or mussels.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there's sometimes you have one and you just have an idea about where to go with it, but I mean it's not a steady
oyster shucking, why not?
Sure.
Oysters and wine. So what's one dish that you're really excited about for the spring menu?
For the spring menu, I got a couple. I have this fresh carrot and edamame salad that I'm really happy with right now. It's shredded carrots, simply dressed with olive oil and lemon, salt and pepper, and just a tidbit of sugar. And then on top is an edamame salad with red peppers and shallots.
As rice. Shelled beans and then boiled or blanched.
Yeah, just blanched really quickly and then thrown into an ice bath so that they, shock and stop the cooking process. And then that's dressed with rice wine vinegar, olive oil, salt and pepper, tarragon, which is my new favorite herb, and a little grapefruit juice.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, and it's really bright and light, and I think it just really accentuates both of those things. Carrots, people kind of think of it as something...
Peas and carrots.
Right.
It goes better together.
But they're... carrots are awesome. And the other thing I'm doing right now is a carrot ginger cheesecake, which is the dessert option. And myself, I'm not like a really heavy-handed sweets person. Like I don't go after the cakes. So I wanted to do something that was a little lighter, that still had the decadence and consistency of a cheesecake, but still kind of wasn't that sugar bomb.
Yeah.
And the ginger really rounds everything out. And
sounds great.
It's quite delicious.
Cool. So where do you guys like to get your carrots and all that stuff from?
Well, we work with Baldor. When I started working here, I had 10 days to write a menu and source ingredients and find a staff. And
so let's grow some on the roof right now.
But as as summer and spring comes around, we're launching brunch in the middle of April, and the plan is to go to the farmer's market every Friday morning and pick out a bunch of different ingredients to make brunch out of, and then have a farmer's market brunch on Saturday.
So you'd write on Friday. Okay,
yeah,
so you'd write it really quickly on the spot. And
I'm gonna pick a couple of different, like 5 or 6 different things that I know will always be on there, like a different omelet and a different Benedict and some sort of carnation of French toast. Like I'll pick different venues or vehicles for food, but then, you can always put different stuff inside of an omelet. You can always make a different quiche, just have the basic, blueprint or a foundation to make everything and then have it change every weekend.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I know that your spot is known as being like a prime date spot. You bring your date.
Oh,
have some wines, have some small plates. Is that what they have now?
Yeah. The tapas style. So you don't get too bloated on your date.
No big greasy burgers.
No. But we do make our own sausage.
Do you? What?
We make our own sausage, house-made sausage.
Cool.
Yeah. This time around, it's pork with mangoes, cilantro, jalapenos, queso fresco, lime zest.
That's all inside the sausage.
All inside the sausage. And then it's served on top of poblanos, tomatillos, and Spanish onions that are sautéed. And then I make a fresh mango mustard and throw it right on top.
Nice. Now I'm excited to ask one of my favorite questions on the show, which is, what would you recommend as the most quintessential perfect date meal?
The quintessential at the winery?
Or just...
In general.
Yeah. Dream date meal.
Dream date meal. Since I'm so wrapped up in the commercial restaurant world industry. Yeah. And I'm going out to eat is always a reconnaissance mission. You know, I'm always checking out different silverware or the plates or the food, how the menu's set up. I judge my waiters. I tip them all appropriately, but I'm pretty judgmental on things.
You can't relax, yeah.
So the perfect date meal would be just a home cooked meal by the person who's taking me out on a date.
Ooh, the other person.
I want them
that.
To cook for me, and I want them to.
Dude, this is the first time that's ever happened, because it's usually like, I want to make this and this and this and bring it to and get, make it for somebody else. But I like that.
I think, well, those are also fun dates, mm-hmm. but yeah, I sometimes I just get sick of cooking. Mm-hmm. I love it to death, but I think you can really learn a lot about somebody when you have them cook for you.
Yeah, show me the goods. What do you got?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And what would that person ideally make in your hypothetical dream world?
Oh, my hypothetical dream world. What would they make? Something that comes from their childhood, or something that like really tells something about them. You know, if I were doing it, you know, my mom always makes wonderful salads and great different side dishes, and my dad grew up garden, so I'd really want to, like, you know, hopefully display those things in what I was cooking for somebody. I always think food tells something about a person, so if you're making me dinner, if you're making me something, I want it to, like, be something personal for you that you want to share with me.
Cool. So what would you make? Just like a farm style, like,
yeah,
salad?
I'd walk over to my parents' house and steal all their produce, and then, you know,
pick the choicest tomatoes and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make something fresh and light. And, the Pierces are not a heavy, heavy household. We, probably throw something on the grill. I'm not sure. Jeez. That's a difficult question.
I know.
You have.
Well, you know, it's fun.
What's yours?
It varies.
Yeah.
From day to day.
What about today? What is today's perfect
like
meal?
I don't know. Something. Actually, it's so cold out these days. I just want a soup.
You want a soup?
I just want like a big bowl of soup, and then dive into it, and then just.
Splash
I like
around.
To have fun with food here. So.
Play inside your soup.
Yeah. No, I like those. You know, answers when it really doesn't matter so much what the food is. It's just like the idea behind it is all that matters. It's
right.
Like, so,
you know, it's always it's a tough question to ask. But,
What do you think now is the most romantic date meal that you should order on the menu at Brooklyn Winery?
Something you can share. Everything is very top style and small plates. I'd really go for the pairings. I think they're really awesome. We put a lot of hard work into them, and you can really have a great experience doing it. If you're going to go on a date and you're going to go to Brooklyn Winery, might I suggest Wednesdays?
Okay.
Wednesdays is...
No,
it's $20 bottle night. It's a great deal.
Oh.
So you come in and you order two things off the menu, so you get a couple of different things.
I thought you were giving me some insider tip, like, we order
no.
on Thursday.
No.
Okay.
But it's $20 bottle night, so you come and you order two different entrees off the menu, and then you get a bottle of wine for $20.
Oh, cool.
And you save up to, like, 55% or something.
Cool.
On some of these bottles.
I'm really digging rosé lately.
We do have a lovely rosé.
Is that like not the wine snob's wine?
It's not.
Oh, man.
But
it's the girly. girly wine.
I think, it gets a bad rap. Just sweet wines in general, definitely. It's a stigma. You know, it's the sideways effect. Like, nobody drinks Merlot anymore because of sideways.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a really great rosé. It's off dry. It still has its sweet characteristics.
And I like dry though.
Yeah,
rosé could be dry. There's no reason why it shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah. Why it can't be. Yeah.
I think
I think it's the color that gives it the stigma. Come on.
So, and the same with the rosé cavas, the pink sparklers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we have that as well. Those pink and bubbly.
That's a little too gross. That's too frou frou from even me.
One of the bartender's boyfriends came in last night with a friend, and they were two males drinking rosé cava at the bar. So cute.
Oh man, I'm gonna get like. totally chastised if I walk in there. I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to wear a costume. Wow. Or I just need to learn. I just need to come there and get better.
Yeah,
at
come and take the class or just sit and talk with a bartender. Like I said earlier in the show, they're all very, very knowledgeable, all very approachable people.
Would you let everyone at Heritage come and make our own wine? And then next year we'll have a wine party. Jack, you listening? Yes. And then in a year from now, we'll get to drink all 280 bottles in one night.
That would be epic.
Yeah, let's do it.
As long as I can come to the party, we'll make it happen.
Oh, of course. Help us drink it. All right, it's on. We're doing it.
Sweet.
Cool. Thanks so much, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Cool. Right. And I'll look out for your spring menu and that lovely fundraiser event for Green Waves.
The Greenway Initiative.
The Greenway Initiative, yeah. I think that should be really fun.
Yeah, awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, and I'll see everyone at Heritage next week. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener, and we're good.
Thank you much. Lord, you
love. Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. I gotta stand tall. You know a man can't crawl when he knows she's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man at all. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back.